Well, hello out there in Radio Land. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, and we have a great show coming up. So I would suggest you go ahead and refill your coffee now. Take care of any personal business, because the next 45 minutes will be definitely stimulating to all of your billions of brain cells, and your eardrums will certainly thank you. We will have opinions, and you may not agree with our opinions, but that's part of the mystique of talk radio. We invite dialogue, we invite controversy, and I want you to think about this important issue, and one that's been discussed on my show many times over the last 2+ years, and I think has changed the landscape of not just the great United States, but the entire world permanently. My guests are, first, one who's been on a few times, hasn't been on for a while, so he is certainly due. We're going to hopefully not talk too fast so we can get all this stuff in for the next 44 minutes. Mr. Lucas Wall, who is currently hanging his hat in the wonderful state of Florida, wonderful and now rather controversial state. We're not going to talk about the other controversies, but certainly it's been in the news quite a bit. Also, we have a special guest who's not been on the show before, and we're very privileged to have a real-life airline pilot, Mr. Chris Sims, who works out of DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, in the very warm Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area. He works for American Airlines. Let me make sure that the intern has properly duct taped all the equipment and all the knobs are in the right place. First, we'll welcome our new guest, Mr. Chris Sims, again, an airline pilot for American. How are you today, Chris?
I'm very good. I'm actually right in the middle of a trip. I'm enjoying Pittsburgh right now.
Pittsburgh. Well, that's not too far from us. Beautiful city, home of Mr. Rogers. We had the chance with the station to be an integral part of the Mr. Rogers stamp introduction. You know, with Pittsburgh, Chris, you're probably better off staying in the sky because you can't really drive anywhere there in a straight line. It's very scenic, again, with the mountains and the changes in the topology of the land. But I think in the air, definitely easier to navigate. You work for American Airlines, Chris. How long have you been a commercial airline pilot?
I've been a commercial airline pilot for just over 30 years.
30 years. You are quite a veteran, and very privileged to have you on the air. It's just an exciting job, and every day is a surprise. And also, as a veteran guest, Mr. Lucas Wall, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about the mask issue. Lucas is suing the airlines and several government entities over this illegal requirement, and obviously as an airline pilot, our other guest, Chris, is heavily involved every single day with the goings-on here. So, Lucas, how are you today in the warm state of Florida?
Good morning. It is indeed the sunshine state here this morning. Very gorgeous morning. And nice to talk to you again, Adam. It has indeed been a while. Time sure flies.
We certainly are due. We're not going to talk
No pun intended.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the Disney issues or your controversial governor. We probably can talk about that another time, but we're going to stick with the mask mandates and other things related to the coronavirus situation, which is now going on 2+ years. Lucas, for those who have not been following what you've been doing on social media or our myriad discussions on this station, just recapitulate for us how you got involved and how we kind of became friends and our stance on this mask issue. And then I'll ask Chris to chime in, too, as someone who works directly in the industry.
Sure. Well, I founded a group last August called Americans Against Mask Mandates. We have more than 600 members, including many flight attendants and pilots, such as Chris. The pilots and flight attendants, two separate groups, just launched their lawsuits against the Federal Transportation Mask Mandate. A couple of weeks ago, the pilots filed in Washington, D.C., in our nation's capital, my permanent home, and the flight attendants filed out in the lovely city of Denver, Colorado, and they made our group's 12th and 13th federal lawsuits against the transportation mask mandate. Since President Biden, CDC, and TSA do not ever seem to want to let it go. And I can let you know the exciting news. We have another group of five passenger plaintiffs who are expecting to file the 14th case from our coalition tomorrow or Wednesday in Los Angeles, which will bring our litigation campaign to the West Coast for the first time.
So, Chris, again, the airline pilot, he's been a commercial airline pilot for over 30 years, works for American Airlines. Chris, pardon my lack of knowledge, as I've been on the ground for quite a while, unlike yourself.
Right.
Do you have to wear a mask as an airline pilot? What exactly is the requirement? And I would imagine, although you're certainly involved in this directly, that your fellow airline pilots are none too pleased about these goings-on, as you understand that masks have virtually no mitigation effect, and they certainly are a hindrance for many reasons.
Right. The mask mandate for us is we have an exemption that we're using in the cockpit. The airline fully understands that it is not a good idea for pilots to be in the cockpit wearing a mask. However, it's up to us to do it if we feel like we want to. I can tell you that no one wears a mask in the cockpit except maybe a portion of a percent. There's a few people that are living in fear. But however, the companies, all the airlines, they want pilots and the flight attendants wearing masks everywhere when we're facing passengers, and they say that to us. And that's so that we can give passengers the confidence and to watch what the pilots are doing so that they know that they need to wear the mask and comply with these regulations or this mandate. Even though really all the pilots, for the most part, know it's doing nothing. We're just wearing a mask, you know, to show, well, just as a facade. So that's what's going on there. But there is a perfectly good exemption that is out there that we could use. But the company doesn't want to support it. Our unions don't want to support using the exemption and except in the cockpit when we're not facing the passengers.
The whole thing, Chris, really sounds ridiculous. I mean, your job is to transport passengers and, of course, the crew safely and efficiently. And an airline flight should be fun. I mean, it's expensive enough. It can be a little stressful. It should be fun for you also, as you must enjoy what you do, as people's lives are in your hands. And maybe they're visiting a city they haven't seen before. I mean, look at Pittsburgh. If you haven't been there, you'll be impressed just how beautiful it is and why it's such a well-known town. I mean, for a relatively small city, it has three major league sports teams. So again, if you know, Pittsburgh's not far from Central Ohio, where I live, and not far from where Lucas usually lives in the D.C. area. But again, you get to visit all these places, and it really never gets old. And the idea that you have to do this silly routine, this ritual, just to make some entities happy, entities that really know nothing about the true situation, that are practicing medicine without a license, as Lucas and I have talked about. It's an insult. I mean, you are a seasoned professional. I mean, I have tremendous admiration for you and anybody else who works on an airline, and that admiration has increased with this particular situation.
Right. I mean, it's probably worse than what you're saying, because really what And Lucas knows this, and most pilots have forgotten some of this, but we also, pilots cannot fly this these commercial airliners until we sign fit for duty. That's every single flight, and that is, you know, we have to do that, and that's under penalty of, law. If we're not fit for duty, they can come after us. And that's because we have a medical certificate that is FAA issued. And so we are in control of that. We say we're safe to fly. We meet all the requirements. And we should be able to determine that. But, of course, once again, the TSA, the government, all these other people are saying we have to wear a mask. Well, some of us have issues with the mask. We feel like it gives us headaches. It makes us a little lightheaded. It makes us do other things. But we don't say things because there is a conflict of interest out there. The company will discipline us or fire us if we try to push on that. And our unions will not help us, or they will not support us on our own medical, which is a federal law, which trumps all of these little directives and things that the companies are putting out there, these policies. So that's very frustrating to me, that the company seems to be, they want safety, but when we say it's not safe to wear the mask, they say, well, if you don't wear the mask, you're not going to work here anymore.
That hypocrisy.
Adam, we have all sorts of hypocrisy going on with this federal transportation mask mandate. As Chris has described, American Airlines is a member of the trade association Airlines for America. It has been campaigning, lobbying for President Biden to get rid of the mask mandate since last summer, coming on 9 or 10 months now. In the last 2 months, both February and March, Americans CEO Doug Parker signed a letter with the other major air carrier executives demanding immediate termination of the federal transportation mask mandate. We have the leader of the American Airlines Pilots Union, who just for the first time a few days ago spoke out condemning the mask mandate and also demanding immediate abolition. So they are publicly campaigning the White House to get rid of it, yet at the same time, they are still vigilantly enforcing it, refusing to give passengers with disabilities medical exemptions and bringing discipline on any employee who dares to show their smile. And so I just ask the airlines, why are you doing this? Why are you saying the mask mandate needs to be abolished, that it is devastating the revenue for the travel industry as it tries to rebound from the pandemic? But then on the flip side, you're still disciplining your workers if they don't wear a mask, and you're banning anyone with a disability who can't wear a mask from flying. And it's just, I feel like we're living in some parallel universe here.
Speaking right. with Mr. Lucas Wall, currently in Florida, here on the Adam Lepp radio programs at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio, broadcasting all over the great world that we live in at WWGH1071.com. We are very privileged to have a real-life airline pilot, Mr. Chris Sims, who is based out of the very warm metro area of Dallas-Fort Worth, but he's currently in the beautiful city of Pittsburgh, not far from us, in a city near and dear to us as the home of course, the Mr. Rogers program. You know, Lucas, if you were to look in the dictionary under hypocrisy, you would see this whole situation. You would probably see recordings of all the shows that we've done. So do you want to know what hypocrisy is? Well, this is it. And it really does put us in the twilight zone. And it isn't funny, though, as the airline industry is an important part of the U.S. economy. You, Lucas, are someone who has a blog about all the cities in the United States and around the world that you visited, but you've been at your mom's house in Florida for a couple years since this whole situation started. And it's really kind of sad because you love to travel and you love to write about it. I like to read about your travels. You're very candid about what occurs. And Chris is a 30-plus year veteran pilot working for American Airlines. It must be difficult for you. And the union, I mean, where I come from, unions protect their workers. They fight for you. That's why you pay your dues. And unions are important. I'm a pro-union person. It must be frustrating.
Yeah, the airline industry, it seems to be the total opposite, Adam.
yeah, I mean, it must be frustrating, Chris. You're paying the union dues, and it's like, what's the union doing? They're just causing more aggravation, and it's really sad. It must make you rethink the value of this union, even though we know others are great for their workers.
I don't know how you handle it. I've gone round and round with the union on this stuff already with letters, and I'm saying the same thing. Here's what all the pilots want the union to do, and this is very simple, and I don't understand why these are professional pilots, these are smart guys, these are guys who have taken an oath to the Constitution. Say, just allow your pilots to say, our union will support the pilot's decision on their medical. If they say that they can't wear a mask and maintain their medical ability to fly, then the union will support it, and the company will fold immediately. I promise, you know, and that's all they have to do, but they will not do it. There's something wrong. That's what I end up thinking. That they say one thing, and then the letters and things I'm getting back from them is, we're not going to do anything about it. And I know another pilot right now that they said, you know, that they're not going to support him on his medical. And they wrote that in writing to him.
Unbelievable.
I mean, letter.
Yeah. Just wanted to ask you a bit about the in-flight experience, Chris. So masks are optional for the pilots, and they're on a commercial flight. It's normally a pilot, co-pilot, and an engineer. So there are three pilots.
There's no engineers anymore.
Okay. So shows what I know. Yeah. I apologize. I'm not an expert.
Yeah, but there were, but that's been gone for about 20 years.
Okay.
Well, computers have taken care of that job, as of many, Adam.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it shows what I know, and I do apologize. But again, it's best.
No, it's okay.
So, you're a captain, I presume, the main pilot, and the co-pilot.
Yeah.
And then the flight attendants or stewards and stewardesses, again using my old school terminology.
Sure, that's fine.
They're required to have a mask on at all times because they're always in contact with the passengers. And we've seen stories about passengers taking the mask off. And in terms of you obviously, I'm sure, are friendly with your crew. What is their feeling about the hypocrisy where they have to wear a mask? I'm sure most of them hate every minute of it. And having to enforce the mask rule for the passengers. It must be difficult. I don't know how they do it, because I wouldn't be able to. And I admire them if
they
can. We
truly have. They don't like it. I think there are some true believers. I think many of them do the job that they're told to do because, and I understand that, that's the rule. You have to wear a mask. They do that, and they want compliance from the passengers, and that's the way the whole cookie crumbles for them. Some are a little more lax on it because a lot of people are just sick and tired of it. That's all they do. Your mask is below your nose. Can you pull it up? Ma'am, the same thing. It's too loose around your nose, or, whatever. They get tired of that, too. And I think they realize everybody, the lights are all on. We know that this is really not doing anything.
Yeah.
Except creating a hazard, actually.
I guess I've heard about the airlines now allowing alcohol. They're kind of phasing that in. And if you sit there just sipping on your drink or just nibbling on the pretzels or whatever, you can just leave the mask down or leave it off. I would assume people do that. I mean, that's what I've done. When I went to the casino during the mask requirement. They are very strict because the casinos are under so much regulation. I would just sit there and sip a drink and not even wear a mask. And
the
staff, they see you. They don't bat an eyelash as long as you're sipping out a drink. I mean, it's stupid. I've joked that I was going to take up smoking so I can go outside and smoke, do something bad for you. So I didn't have to wear a mask, even though the most recent mask mandate here in Columbus was it inside only. So if you go outside to the smoking area and you don't smoke, you don't have to wear one. I mean, the whole thing is so stupid.
And well, knowledge is power, and we don't have a lot of knowledge on the rules. And recently, I've learned a lot more of the rules. You know that of course you can. The airlines. I was just a little trip the other day. I heard them saying you can eat, but you have to take your mask down, take a bite, put your mask back up. That is not what the law, and the exemptions and all those things are. It says you should not take more than 15 minutes when eating. You just should. But I don't eat like everybody else. I take hours to eat. And so that's how I do it. And then if you have trouble breathing, it says you may remove the mask in order to catch your breath. Basically, people might be hyperventilating and all that. And then you have to put the mask back when your breathing returns to normal. Well, who's going to determine that? If a flight attendant is yelling at me to put my mask up, it's probably going to make me hyperventilate more and get
exactly.
Worse.
Really,
passengers could use that if they had the knowledge, but nobody tells us that.
Yeah. to hear that, Chris, from a real life airline pilot, am I hearing what I think I'm hearing? That you're hyperventilating, your health is suffering because of this dumb mask. And you can take it off so you can breathe. Then you got to put it back on again. I got to go to the smoking analogy. Oh, the smoking made me cough.
Right.
But then I can just go back to smoking as long as I don't cough.
Right.
It really is the Twilight Zone. And again, I'm very... Well, it's upsetting about the union. I mean, I've heard about this. Lucas and I have talked about it. But to hear it from a real-life person, because you are paying union dues, Chris. You're a proud member of the union. They're supposed to protect you. They're not doing anything. I'm sorry. They're completely useless.
Correct. I wish that someone would go interview the unions. We need to have a news reporters go knock on their door and say, why are you not supporting the pilots on their medical? I'd like to hear what they say. Because I'll say we have pilots. I want to hear their message about how they don't support the pilots on the medical, and how can they say that they are not living in our health conditions and everything else in our lives. They don't know what the mask is doing to 100% of us. They need to be asking. We're not 100% all exactly the same.
Yeah, it's really crazy, Adam. Do you want a pilot in control of your airplane who is suffering from oxygen deprivation because they've been forced to wear a mask for 4 or 5 hours while waiting out a delay on a flight at the airport terminal, where they have to wear a mask just for show, just for pandemic theater? But then when they get in the cockpit, they can take it off, but their oxygen level still takes a long time to return to normal. Right. And all of a sudden, there's an emergency, and they have 2 seconds to react, and their brain is oxygen deprived because they've been having this mask on and having obstructed breathing. I don't want to be a passenger on a plane with a pilot like that. I don't know about you.
Whole thought is very scary, and I expect an airline pilot to be in perfect health. And
right,
you know, Chris, you've been a pilot 30 plus years. You've seen anything and everything. You've been, I would assume, to all the major airports, and you love your job. You wake up looking forward to another day, and you have this hindrance. Again, I mean, jokes aside about the Twilight Zone, this is a serious matter. Your health must be perfect. And
well, can I give you an example?
I'd love to hear one. Yes, again, hearing this from a real life pilot. There's no substitute.
Yeah, real life example. We departed Chicago the other day, flying all the way down to St. Thomas. At 12,000 feet, we started losing control of the cabin. We climbed up. We stopped the climb at 16,000 feet, and the cabin was already at 8,000 feet cabin altitude. That means there is about 30% less oxygen in the air right then. Had we kept climbing, I wasn't going to find out, but we would have gone over 10,000 feet, I think, for sure. And then, of course, you know, these kind of things, or if it would have done it at altitude, it could have created a very serious problem with the oxygen levels in the aircraft. Of course, the masks would drop eventually. Now you have an emergency, but of course, everyone is oxygen deprived and messing with their little paper mask that's on their faces. I mean, it just could have caused a problem. But like I said, you're already at 30% less oxygen in the cabin when you're at 8,000-foot cabin altitude. You're already starting from a deficit. So, but we did get control. We did end up diverting and going somewhere else. Yeah. But you don't want your pilots to be oxygen-deprived. You want your flight attendants, who are going to have to manage the situation in the back, to not be, you know, hypoxic, basically, walking around and having to deal with the passengers. And that's another problem. They're there for safety.
Yeah, and you hearing want them that, to start also. Are you listening, Joe Biden? Are you listening, Dr. Fauci? Are you listening, anybody practicing medicine without a license?
That's one of the claims that we have made in these various lawsuits, Adam, is that by enforcing these mask mandates, the airlines are essentially practicing medicine without a license. They don't have a face mask is classified as a medical device by the Food and Drug Administration, and all of them except for the N95 respirator masks do not even have FDA approval. They're just given, many of them, an emergency use authorization, which means you have the legal right to decline to use any emergency authorized product because it has not gone through any full testing and clearance. Our pilots and flight attendants in the two cases have made the claims in court that the FAA never studied the effect of having a cabin full of muzzled passengers in terms of what that would do in terms of slowing reaction time to an emergency.
Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, based out of Marion, Ohio. Oh, by the way, Chris, we have Chris Sims, a real-life pilot for American Airlines. He's been a professional pilot for 30-plus years. Very privileged to have him on the show. He's in Pittsburgh currently, not far. And, of course, Lucas Wall, a regular guest of our program. Chris, I imagine you fly everywhere. Have you been to John Glenn Airport in the beautiful city of Columbus?
Oh, yeah.
And do you like the airport? They've done a lot of remodeling with the passing of the great John Glenn. It's been renamed. Any thoughts on that airport? I know it's kind of small for a city this size. We're the second largest city in the Midwest, but comparing it to O'Hare or DFW, it definitely is like comparing the 7-Eleven to the Walmart. But it is considered a easy airport to get to. It's a good location. It's clean and some of the best rates for flights. Any impressions on John Glenn Airport or also nearby the Cleveland Hopkins Airport?
Now, I have been there, not terribly recently, but I used to go there a long time ago. But I love the smaller airports like the Oak Cities, the Columbus airports, those kind of airports are nice, and they're just so easy to get in and out of. And, yeah, I mean, I'm more of a Midwest flyer. The big airports are obviously much, much more complex, and the small airports are just a lot more fun to fly into for us.
Yeah, O'Hare is just humongous. And
oh, yeah, it's crazy.
A lot of people like Midway. It's near downtown. It's near Chinatown.
Right.
The Dayton Airport is real easy to get to. I know I picked a friend up there once. It was kind of like felt like you were going to a mall. You just park and walk in.
Right. So. Yeah.
And
Dayton is an awesome airport.
Yeah, here in Ohio, Southwest, of course, has the hub in Cleveland and Delta in Cincinnati, and mixture of airlines in Columbus, Delta certainly being a pretty big one. So it's
right.
Exciting you get to go to all the different airports. And there is a charm with the smaller airports, especially like in Columbus or Cincinnati. Of course, Cincinnati Airport's actually in Kentucky, where
right. It's
a large city, large metro area with a relatively small airport. But it's part of the excitement of the job. And Chris Sims, a longtime pilot for American Airlines, on the phone with me, along with Lucas Wall, regarding the illegal and dangerous mask mandates on the airlines.
Adam, I did want to steer you to one other important topic since we last talked. A few days ago, on March 29th, 21 states, including your wonderful state of Ohio, filed suit against Joe Biden and Dr. Walensky and the CDC and the TSA and many others in federal court in Tampa, Florida, to strike down the federal transportation mask mandate. I've been campaigning for state officials for the past 10 months to get involved in this legal fight. Texas filed a lawsuit along with a member of Congress from Texas a few weeks ago, and now the big kahuna landed just a few days ago on the 29th, which was last Tuesday, with Florida, Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Utah, my original home state of Virginia, and West Virginia, all suing Dr. Walensky, President Biden, and others to end the federal transportation mask mandate.
I definitely support that, especially we're hearing it directly from a pilot. And it's dangerous. It's not a case of not being comfortable. Oxygen levels are different in a flight. Things happen, and your training is obviously to take care of routine situations and emergencies, and you obviously handle it well. That's why you receive the training. That's why you're constantly being examined and tested. In terms of the union, which I find very troubling, Chris, I mean, I knew about it, but just hearing a person talk about it who's involved directly, is it possible to break away from the union? Just I assume you have to be in the union to be employed. It's a union shop, so to speak. But the union's doing nothing.
Yeah.
I think they're actually making it worse.
Right. I mean, I think I've actually looked into that only because if they're not going to protect me for it's a federal law that I'm trying to follow by protecting my medical so I'm able to fly. If the union's going to tell me they're not going to do that, then why am I paying the dues? I mean, this is part of the safety aspect. And another aspect of it, because here's part of their problem. They say, well, it's going away on the 18th. Why do we want to do anything about that? And I say, well, we need to put this to bed forever for us. You know, the pilot owns the medical. You need to stand by us on this. And once that occurs, I think a lot of the mask mandate will fall apart right there. But they don't want to do that. And this is a federal law we're trying to follow for the pilots.
Right, and not just the sooner the better, but set a precedent. This never should have been done and never should be done ever.
And we don't want it to come back either. That's the other point. I don't want it to come back next fall.
Correct. And that's why there's so much litigation happening now, Adam. My case is in the summary judgment phase that was filed almost 10 months ago now. And several cases have been filed in the last few weeks with the pilot group. We have 10 pilots who filed suit in D.C., 9 flight attendants who filed suit in Denver. There are the 21 states who filed suit last week in Tampa. There's Texas and Representative Beth Van Doon, who sued a couple weeks ago in Fort Worth, I believe. And there's also a lawsuit in Kentucky filed by 17 members of Congress, in addition to the 13 cases that my coalition has, 11 of which are filed by passengers and 2 of which are filed by our pilot and flight attendant groups. So there is incredible legal pressure now throughout the federal court system to have this mandate declared invalid. And the key point is to get a permanent injunction that it can never be reimposed, even if they do allow it to expire on April 18th, which right now is not a guarantee. They've been extending it, I think, at least 5 times since it first went into effect February last year.
I think we need a law saying keep out of the airline's business. Don't jeopardize the safety of pilots, flight attendants, passengers, airline mechanics, anybody. Buzz off. No other way to say it. Speaking with Lucas Wall and Chris Sims, a pilot for American Airlines. He's been in that field for 30-plus years. If anybody can speak directly about this situation, he certainly can. Just another dumb question, Chris, but I haven't been in an airport in a while, so was kind of curious.
Right.
When you are in the airport itself and bringing your luggage on the plane and speaking with the crew and the maintenance people, do you have to wear a mask inside the airport? Is there ever a time when it has to be worn? Is there a medical exemption? Because that whole thing is just kind of silly. You're walking through an airport, and then you wear one, but then you're sitting in the cockpit, and you and the co-pilot are proximitous, not wearing a mask, and you speak with the flight attendants, I would assume, not wearing a mask at all anytime during the flight. I mean, we know the whole thing is absurd, but is there a time when you are wearing a mask during your course of work, either in the airport or somewhere else?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm a pilot who's not going to violate my medical. I'll just put it that way. And if the medical says, if I'm saying that the mask affects my performance and if I wear it, it could affect my medical ability to fly, then I'm not going to wear it. So I'm going to leave it there with you on that. But I will tell you this, the TSA has allowed plenty of pilots to go right through using the exemption. There's an exemption that they have right in their own orders. I'll just give it to you. That way, your audience can listen to or look it up. Security Directive 1542-2101D, and it's Exemption F, and it has that's for the kids under 2 that get to go and not have to wear a mask. There's also the second exemption is for medical issues like you have a disability. And the third one is if it's allowed by federal regulation. Well, pilots are under a federal regulation with our medical. It is a federal regulation. Therefore,
And Adam is referring to the medical certificate that all pilots have to maintain. They have their license from the Federal Aviation Administration,
right.
But along with keeping that license, they have to have once or twice a year a checkup from a qualified physician, I think what is it called, an aviation medical examiner, aeromedical examiner, to determine that the pilots are medically fit to fly. And then between those appointments, it is legally up to the pilots themselves to maintain their health and to certify before every flight that they are fit for duty and that they are ready to go. And as I noted before, do you want an oxygen-starved pilot who is feeling fatigue and headaches because of having to wear a mask for hours sitting around an airport waiting for a flight? I certainly do not.
Irony, guys. Obviously, everybody I know will be in favor of the regular physical exams for pilots, I'm sure, especially Chris. You want to be healthy, and if there is a medical issue, you want to know about it, and you want your co-pilot to be healthy. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Yet, they're saying that this dumb mask, which again is useless and very dangerous emotionally and physically, is just so important. Yet we go through and have a physical exam by a real doctor, someone who is licensed to practice medicine, someone who went to medical school, someone who also is regularly tested and goes through continual training. Jokes aside about the Twilight Zone, I don't understand how this great country, the greatest country in the world, could be going through something so absurd. How people can support this.
Pretty amazing, Adam, especially that we now have since last week. I tell you, there's been so much going on just in the past week Hawaii ended its mask mandate last week, and that was state number 50 to drop. And so we now have 0 out of 50 states with a mask mandate. And yet, if you get on a bus in Columbus just to ride 1 or 2 miles to go to work or to get a drink or to visit a friend or to see a movie, the federal government is stepping in, overriding the policy of the state, and unconstitutionally mandating that you have to put a worthless piece of cloth on your face.
Chris, let me ask you this again. We have Chris Sims with me and Lucas Wall. Yep. He's a pilot for American Airlines. You mentioned that as a pilot, you and your co-pilot can decide if you want to wear a mask. And you know what that means, that very few of you do. And thank goodness for that. Why are bus drivers required to wear them? I understand they may be a little closer to the passengers, but they're still sitting up front. Plus, there's no co-pilot. There's one driver. So he or she doesn't really have another person next to him or her. And any thoughts on why pilots have the opt-in or opt-out, whereas with bus drivers, they have no choice but to wear one?
Yes, our work environment's a lot different. In the cockpit, we are on radios. We have to communicate with ATC. The mask can muffle the sound. Also, remember, the cabin altitude is at 8,000 feet generally, or close to that, and there's 25 to 30% less oxygen. So, and then if you did depressurize, now you have to take a paper mask off your face before you grab your quick don oxygen mask and get that all on. And if you're at the wrong altitude, if you're very high altitude, you may have 10 seconds before you pass out. So you don't want to be encumbered with a paper mask that's not doing you any.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. But the flight attendants...
On that topic, Adam, if I can just chime in real quick, it's worth noting that the American Bus Association submitted a letter to President Biden last week demanding an immediate abolition of the federal transportation mask mandate, noting that there is no need for the mask mandate, and also describing the devastating consequences on the travel industry, that many people are not taking public transportation. They are not signing up for bus tours and excursions and so forth because they do not want to be forced to wear a mask. And that is not comfortable. If I'm going on vacation, the last thing in the world I want to do on my time off is to have my breathing obstructed, which for me causes panic attacks. And so we have the Airlines for America, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the nation's largest business industry, the American Hotel and Lodging Association, the American Bus Association. The list is growing by the day of these major industry groups who are calling for mask mandate termination. And so we're hoping with all of this pressure, both in the courts and by lobbying by these major interest groups, that they will allow the mandate to expire April 18th. But again, there's no guarantee that is going to happen. We have no idea what will happen in 2 weeks.
Chris, you mentioned about the obvious dangers with the mask, but the flight attendants and passengers are wearing them. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, we know it doesn't. I just have to scratch my head. I thought I could figure almost anything out. I'm usually pretty good at that. You got to think outside the box. You know, as a radio host, you got to have something to say, but I'm not sure what to say. I'm just throw my hands up and say, let's go ahead and remove this ridiculousness. And let's wait for the next election. I don't know what else to say. I wish I could, but I can't think of anything. But I like to think there was some logic to this, but there is none. And every time I think about it, it gets ridiculouser, if that's a word.
If you're looking for logic, Adam, you are looking in the wrong place. Even the CDC data doesn't support its own mandate anymore. Did you know that with the new guidance that it put out on February 25th, do you know how many counties in the United States out of 3,100 now the CDC recommends that masks be worn at them?
I'd hate to ask.
Let's take a guess.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick guess. How many out of 3,100 counties does CDC recommend that there's enough COVID going around that everyone should wear a mask?
A couple hundred, probably.
17.
Okay, 17. Well, it should be zero.
And for those doing the math at home, that's right. 0.47% of American counties, less than half of a percent.
Right, and the credibility issue, it's damaged permanently, but let's hope we can overcome. The travel industry is so important in this country. Just have a few minutes left, and Chris, I wanted to ask you another, I guess, curiosity-type question. You mentioned that the masks are optional, and if you're the captain of the flight and your co-pilot decides he or she wants to wear a mask, do you ask that person to take it off because it is dangerous? I know when I've met with my own clients in my IT business, I've asked people, take the mask off. It's not protecting me. It's not protecting you. And I can't really hear you well. And you can't really perform your job, you know, your role as a paying client. But have you ever told a co-pilot or if you're the co-pilot, the pilot, take your mask off so that you can function better and be healthier? Has that ever come up? I'm just kind of curious, I guess.
Well, since I don't wear the mask, I've had some co-pilots tell me that they've flown with some people that do. And, I mean, they talk about it. Let me tell you, the company is the option of the pilot. But now, if I'm a co-pilot, I'm going to say this is an unsafe situation. I'm not flying with him. Because what's going to happen when I go out for a bathroom break? What if that's when things go wrong and this guy's hypoxic and, you know, all there is a flight attendant with a locked door up there and everybody goes to sleep, let's say. You know, here I am in the back, you know, with that's not a safe situation. And not to mention communications is another huge issue. There basically is not very many pilots doing it. Literally a handful, maybe a few dozen, I think, that really are true believers, and maybe a few more than that, but there's really hardly anybody doing it. But there are pilots that do it because I've been told about them.
Yeah.
Wear the mask in the cockpit.
Curiosity issue, but I would think pilots highly educated, constantly being trained. You understand about oxygen levels, and I just admire, Chris, that you are being vocal about this, and you care about your employer, about American Airlines. You want them to be profitable, to have a good reputation. You care about your passengers and crew, certainly. And
yes, I do. I love what I do. I can say that. And I love American Airlines. You know, we all love our airlines, and I want it to be the best that it can be, and I want our passengers to have the safest, most comfortable, best experience they can have.
That's the best way to sum it up. Well, I want to thank you, Chris, for being on the show with us. Chris Sims, a pilot for American Airlines, currently in the nearby beautiful city of Pittsburgh, but usually he's in Dallas-Fort Worth. And my regular guest, Mr. Lucas Wall, who is oftentimes in Washington, D.C., but is currently in the sunshine and controversial state of Florida. Again, we didn't talk about the controversies in Florida, but I'm sure we will at some time. Hopefully, Chris, you can come back on the show at some point, and we'll have Lucas on again with some more updates. Thank you again, guys. Have a great rest of your day, and we certainly appreciate taking
time. Thanks so much, Adam. Always a pleasure.
Taking time out of your schedules. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.